Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Nerdsween and a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you for joining me on my first episode of 2022. It still feels a little weird to say that. But so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about my top entertainment of 2021. That we're going to talk about some movies, TV shows, and comics that I absolutely adore. That being said, first and foremost, thank you so much for listening. This is now going on the second year of this podcast, and it means a lot to me for everyone who stops by, whether it's momentarily or have been a long-time listener. I really appreciate it. So like, share, subscribe, do all of that algorithm jazz to help this progress even further. All right. So first I'm going to talk about my favorite comics of the year. Now, I have admittedly not read as much as I would have hoped this year. I got really busy doing a lot of different things. I run multiple Instagram accounts, as well as obviously the podcast, and I also sell comics now through Whatnot. So little shameless plug here. If you want some comics, search Nerdtween, the same name as the podcast, on Whatnot. Check out my comic shows there. All right. But like I said, I have not read as much as I wanted to, so this list is definitely inconclusive to all of the titles that are out right now, and I will be leaving a lot of things off. So first and foremost, I want to talk about my biggest spec book that I called from almost the get-go, Noctera. Noctera is an Image comic that has now been optioned for a TV series per the writer. And what's funny is I called that back in May. I read like the first two issues, I think it was at the time. And I was like, this is going to get optioned. This is screams a horror movie slash TV show. And I was right. So that's a big book. It's, if you're not reading it, it's absolutely fantastic. The villain in that, in the book, is honestly one of the best villains I've ever seen in a comic. In my opinion, he's just so intriguing, from the first time he stepped on the panel. Then you got, Vinyl, which I actually interviewed the creator, on this podcast. So go take a look at that if you were interested in that book. Vinyl is a horror book, which is really different than most horror books because it's done in such a beautiful art style that it's like, it looks like there are certain parts where you're looking at like, man, this could be like a children's book. And then the next panel, someone's getting an axe put through their head. Like it was absolutely amazing. Future State Robin, most of the Future State stuff I was not a big fan of, but the Future State Robin and the Future State Nightwing, as well as the current on Nightwing run, are also fantastic. Not much from DC has intrigued me this year. I bought a lot of DC stuff, and I have not been happy, to be honest. A lot of the stuff has been very droll, besides the Tinian stuff, and that's about to end. So we'll see what happens with DC moving forward. Star Wars The High Republic has been fantastic for the entire run. I also interviewed the artist behind that, Ario Ananditto. So if you're interested in that, make sure you go check out my earlier podcast episodes because it's there. Radiant Black, which is another great Image comic. I believe this is going to get optioned as well. It is, in my opinion, it's basically like Power Rangers for adults. Especially if you either were born or grew up in the 90s. It really hits home to a lot of people around my age. Then you got Proctor Valley Road, and you know, I said this is gonna get optioned too, and I've seen reports that it's being optioned and it's not, and I don't know at this point what actually is happening with Proctor Valley Road, but I do believe it will be optioned. It's like Scooby-Doo if the monsters were real and set in the 70s. Like it's awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. Now and then all of the Black, White, and Blood, but specifically the Wolverine Black, White, and Blood. All those issues were just amazing. I love the art style of the switching of the artists and the writers. It was great to see Claremont doing a Wolverine story as well. That really, really was nice. Donny Cates, you know, did some great stuff there with Cosmic Ghost Rider. There was a lot of stuff to like in the Wolverine Black, White, and Blood series. And not that the Deadpool one or the Carnage ones weren't good, but the Wolverine one stuck out to me. And then obviously the King in Black run, that whole storyline with Null is just something that I was really not thinking I was going to like, and I ended up liking it a lot. But that goes to say a lot of things about Donny Cates. Is his work is he takes characters that I don't really have a affinity towards and makes me interested in them. Like I've said before in this podcast that I don't do like my favorite heroes and comic book characters are not the ones that are like super powered, like Thor, for instance. But his Thor run has made like I'm it's one of the few Marvel books that's on my pull list. It's weird, like, Donny Cates can do no wrong. And it was funny, Donny Cates posted something about how there's a rumor going around that he's going to do the Miracle Man series, which is fun. And I commented, I was like, see, I knew it. I was like, I tried to tell everyone when Marvel picked this up that they had something planned. And then he responded. Like, actually, Donny Cates responded, was like, well, obviously, that's what you would, that's what happens when you purchase something, you tend to use it. And then I said, I apologize. I meant to say something big, and having you attached to it is something big, and I would be right. And that's why I picked up Miracle Man number one a couple times, actually. So I had a little and he didn't like or respond to that comment. But I think it's funny that he says, like, oh, duh, dude. Mr. Cates, I understand what buying, comics is about. Like, I understand buying the IP and using it to bring it back. I meant because if they put you on it, it's gonna be freaking amazing. That's what I meant by something in store, and obviously not just the reintroduction of the character. Now, I was disappointed in only three books this year. And that's because I didn't read as much as I wanted to. And then there's going to be one book I'm going to talk about right after this that's getting an honorable mention. I think will end up becoming the book of the year, but it's only two issues in, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with saying it's on my top 2021 list, because like I said, it's only two issues in. The second one literally just came out, so I also want to give a little bit of time to talk about that book specifically. Anyways, but I was disappointed in the Alien series after the first. I had it for three issues, and I just couldn't get behind it. The art style was okay at best, really. Like, the Xenomorphs, everything looked great, but everything else I was not too big a fan of, and I gave it up after three issues. Same with the Children of the Atom. I have the entire run. I read the first couple issues upon release, and I just kept going, I'll give it another shot, I'll give it another shot, I'll give it another shot. And then after the third issue, I was like, yeah, shot's done. And then the last one was Magic the Gathering. I didn't really play Magic as a kid, so, like, I feel like it was lost on me. But, like, when I read it, I just, the names, it just didn't, I didn't get into it immediately off that first issue at all. Like, I didn't want to give it another chance. Like, and that's my bias towards not knowing the game or having any real connection to the source material. So I'm not saying it's a bad book. That's why it's on my disappointed list and not on a bad one. Like, we will have, when I talk about movies, there's definitely a few bad ones that came out this year. So. But yeah, now the book I alluded to earlier is Good Boy. Good Boy is a new book that has come out from Sourcepoint Press. It is basically a reverse John Wick, where the human dies and the dog goes on a murderous rampage. I feel this book is going to be the true sleeper hit of 2021 when the series continues in 2022. That's why I didn't want to give it a spot on the top list just yet. Because more than likely it'll be on the top list of 2022. So, Good Boy, it's just the artwork is just stunning, and the storyline so far It's really interesting, and I like the whole idea. Apparently, Donnie Cates is mad that he didn't think of the idea. There's a quote that one of the writers posted was like, "I'm so effing mad that I didn't come up with the idea myself." That's a pretty good quote to have attached to your work. Just saying. All right, so we're going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll come back, and I'm going to talk about my favorite TV shows. I'm going to save the movies till the end. So take a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Okay, so there was a ton of great TV shows this year, and some of which I didn't get to for multiple reasons, which we'll get into in a little bit. And then I don't really have any bad ones because I don't really watch bad TV shows. So that being said, let's just jump right in. My first pick is Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is not something you normally hear on my show. I did do a couple breakdowns of the series because I thought it was fantastic. I am a cinephile. I watch many movies and TV shows and things of that nature. I don't just watch nerdy stuff or quote-unquote nerdy stuff. I've spoken many times on the podcast about how I believe you can nerd out about anything if you like sports to the point where you are remembering stats and significant events and you wear jerseys and everything that you're a sports nerd. Nerd is just being unapologetically okay with liking something to the point where you will talk about it no matter who you're with and no matter what their reaction might be. So, Ted Lasso, just one of the greatest shows that's ever been on TV, in my opinion. The comedy is just on point. The storytelling and the development of the characters is just next level. Just absolutely next level. And I wanted to talk about that first because it was my favorite show of 2021 when I really thought about it. Now, there's other shows that I enjoyed a crap ton that were amazing, but Ted Lasso stood out head and shoulders above everything else. And then in that same breath, Masters of the Universe Revelations on Netflix also did the same for me. It was just so good. The voice acting was an insanely loaded roster. Not to mention some of the storylines that happened in that Masters of the Universe show never even came close to happening before. Skeletor won. Spoiler alert, and then lost, and then won, and then lost. Long story, but it was fantastic. I Kevin Smith did an amazing job with Masters of the Universe. And then, of course, you have all of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, Loki, What If, WandaVision, Hawkeye, Falcon and Winter Soldier. And then, it's Star Wars, but Star Wars The Bad Batch should be thrown there because it's on Disney Plus, as well as something I'll talk about in a little bit about the Book of Boba Fett. Those were all fantastic. I think, really, for me, the top two shows were Hawkeye and What If. Loki is right below it, and then WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Not saying that I thought they were WandaVision or Falcon and Winter Soldier were bad by any means. They were fantastic. WandaVision was amazing. I've never seen a idea like Grief be a villain before. That was truly epic. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was great too. Reason why WandaVision's lower is because that damn boner joke. I'm sorry, they had a chance to introduce the frickin' Quicksilver from the X-Men universe, and they frickin' made it a boner joke. I've heard rumors that he's coming back in Doctor Strange 2, which means he may not... That boner joke may have concealed a true threat that we didn't know we had. There was a scene that was shot from the ending of WandaVision where they fought a demon in the... That's how they got the Darkhold. They had to fight a demon to get it, and it was the Agatha's son. So, and then Falcon Winter Soldier, it was just so well done And I loved the different the racial undertones, and I spoke about it at length on the podcast about how I like that the comics, the TV shows and properties are now being more like the comics, attacking real issues in the world like racism, systemic racism, and that is something that I truly enjoyed. But when you talk about the best, I mean, the best had to be either Hawkeye, Loki, or What If. Now, I say that because What If was just amazing from start to finish. It also had the last acting, even though it was voice acting of Chadwick Boseman. So it hurt at the same time as it was amazing. When that last episode ended and I realized I would never hear his voice again, unless, you know, you watch it again or go back and look at his other work, it really hit harder than I thought it should, for the TV show, I mean. So, and as well as knowing that there was a planned spinoff with him as Star-Lord, really also sucks. But then you look at Loki. Loki was the start of the multiverse stuff, in my opinion. I know we talk about how WandaVision, Spider-Man No Way Home, and Doctor Strange 2 are more like a trilogy. I think it's more of a four-part series, because Loki definitely has something in it. Initially, Hiddleston said he's not appearing in Doctor Strange 2, but then there's been a lot of rumors lately that he is going to appear in Doctor Strange 2, so we'll have to wait and see about that. And, you know, just the interesting introduction of Kid Loki, and we got to see Throg, even though it was in a small little cameo, which was also the voice by Chris Hemsworth, who apparently there was a scene that was cut where Throg was doing like the Hulk smash on Loki in the memory vault. So that'd be kind of cool to see. Memory theater, I guess. And then we got Hawkeye. Now, Hawkeye, for me, the reason why I think I have it above everything else is because, not only because they reintroduced Kingpin and introduced Echo and introduced Kate Bishop, but they did it in such a way that I was craving more episodes. Like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier ended to a point where I was like, okay, cool. And then Captain America 4, awesome. WandaVision, okay, cool. Okay, Doctor Strange 2, and then something else later. Loki, okay. Loki Season 2, okay. But Hawkeye, I'm just like, yo, six episodes was not enough. I want more. And I hope that we get more soon, because Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop was just a revelation. She was amazing. And Yelena Belova, I think I'm saying that wrong. Florence Pugh, oh my God. Like, that character is just so charismatic with her. They need to find a way to bring her into the full 616, or whatever you want to call it, Marvel Universe on a regular basis. They got to find a way. I feel like they should have her take up the mantle of Black Widow and be an Avenger, because she's amazing. The interaction between her and Kate is just perfect. I mean, like, I recall taking it back a couple times and rewatching those scenes just for that hilarity. Like, even when that serious scene where she was talking to Kate in her, like, abandoned house with the macaroni. It's one of the best scenes in all of the MCU, in my opinion. Just the way those lines were delivered, it was just two talented actresses just flexing hard. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Now, moving away from Marvel, I did mention The Bad Batch. I really liked The Bad Batch. Not everyone did. I thought it was very fun. But, you know, it could have been better. We got more coming from what I hear, so that's good. And then I want to talk about Invincible. Invincible was freaking amazing. I cannot wait for the next season. And I, you know, I am on the back of two Invincible number ones. Just saying, Nerdsween's on there. You can check it out. Now, the shows I didn't see and I want to see, I just haven't got around to it. I needed to mention these. The Wheel of Time, I just haven't got around to it. I hear it's fantastic, and I'm going to get to it eventually. Cowboy Bebop, I didn't even bother to watch it because I heard they already canceled it. Only one season. I'm good. Chucky, I'm really looking forward to eventually getting into that show. I've been hearing good things, and it's from the original creators of Chucky, so I have a good feeling about it. Dave, the pseudo-realistic Lil Dicky TV show. The first season was fantastic, and I have seen clips from the current season, and it looks pretty good. So I'm gonna definitely check that out. And like I said, it's too early to tell about the Book of Boba Fett. One episode in, I loved it. A lot of people did not. I usually would have done a breakdown, as I do every nerdy content. I break down every episode, but I didn't this time because, well, this is the first episode of 2022, and I wanted to do a summation of all the stuff I loved in 2021, or at least the ones that stood out. I'm sure I'm missing things and I'm gonna regret it. I just now realizing that I didn't have The Witcher in my likes, and I forgot to talk about Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. If you're not watching that, I suggest you do so. It's always up on like the main stories that he do every week or on YouTube. So you don't even have to get HBO Max to really watch it. I suggest you do because you don't get the full content. But Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is so informatively funny. What he's created there is just unbelievable. He takes these mundane, horrible topics and makes them relatively interesting to the point where you want to watch it every week. I do wish he didn't take as many breaks, though. It hurts my feelings because I don't have enough John Oliver in my life, especially since he was on one of my favorite shows, Community. That always helps. And we're definitely going to get a movie. I'm calling it. I've been calling it. Let's go, Dan Harmon. All right. So we're going to take one more quick little break. Then we'll come back. I'm going to dish about the movies. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to the movie edition, Best of Nerdpool Prime Selections. So obviously the very first movie, which was my favorite and just best of the year, was Spider-Man No Way Home. No questions asked. That movie was absolutely fantastic. I did talk about it on my breakdown, how I felt some of the things that they did were just for the sake of the movie and didn't really make sense thematically, as in, like, sure, Spider-Man can help them not be bad guys anymore, but when they go back, they're still gonna die? So what's the point? But whatever. Other than that, it was just amazing getting Daredevil back and all the villains and everything else. Just absolutely fantastic. I can't say enough about how much I love Spider-Man No Way Home. Next movie I want to talk about is Tick, Tick, Boom. Tick, Tick, Boom is a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie starring Andrew Garfield as the creator of the show Rent. And by show, I mean Broadway show Rent. And I'm a very big fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda. Another movie of his, In the Heights, made the list as well. I can watch those movies over and over again. Tick, Tick, Boom was fantastic because Rent is one of my all-time favorite plays. Or musicals, or whatever you want to call it, as well as movie starring Rosario Dawson, who is now Ahsoka Tano, who's getting her own TV show. So that is one thing that is good about watching a lot of different things, is that you can see actors in roles that you wouldn't expect. Like, I've known about Rosario Dawson for many, many years since Rent. So I've been following her career forever. Andrew Garfield, another situation where I've seen a lot of his other movies that weren't just Spider-Man. and I knew about the actors. Like when I heard Rosario Dawson was going to be in The Mandalorian as Ahsoka Tano, I freaked out, and I basically made a post about how lucky we are to have an actress of her caliber in Star Wars universe now. And she not only liked it, shared it, and then actually messaged me and thanking me for her for my support. I almost lost my mind. Yes, I spoke to Ahsoka Tano this year. This past year, because now it's 2022. What's going to happen in 2022? We'll find out. I've got a lot of things in the works. But I digress. Moving on. Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings. Fantastic movie. I was worried that it was going to be a Marvel Kung Fu movie, but instead it was a Kung Fu movie set in the Marvel Universe, which I like things like that. And I will have to admit that it came out of my birthday, so I am a little bit biased. But it was great. Like, I felt like it was Marvel giving me a birthday gift, and I appreciate it. Thanks, Marvel. Now, that being said, moving on, the Suicide Squad, another fantastic movie. James Gunn did such a good job with that movie. I was impressed from start to finish. Zack Snyder's Justice League was amazing, very long, but amazing. And I'm very disappointed with the leaks from what the Flash movie is going to do. And if what the Flash movie is intending to do, from what I have been hearing, it will prove why Warner Brothers won't ever have a successful cinematic universe, because they take what the fans want and say, screw you, we're doing this. Where Marvel, like, they turn right into that skid. You know, when you're on the icy road, it says, what do? You turn into the skid. They literally will say, what do you guys want? Fine. We'll give it to you. Oh, you want all the Spider-Man in one movie? Done. You want Daredevil back? Done. You want Kingpin back? Done. You want comic book accurate costumes? Done. And then Warner Brothers is like, you want us to let you have the Zack Snyder's Justice League? No, we're good. We're going to start over, and you're going to like it because we said so. What? Yeah, that's not how this works. I just hope that, because, like, and the problem is, a lot of times when it's characters of this magnitude, we're talking about Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, people will give it a shot because of those characters, and they'll make money off it. I'm really hoping that one day we won't do that. We won't reward them for movies that we don't like. But I digress. Now, I have a couple movies that I want to call honorable mentions, or that they took me by surprise, or they have a little asterisk with it. So, like, Army of the Dead, it was such, when I initially watched it, it's one of my favorite zombie movies of all time. And then I watched it again, I noticed certain things. And now that I know it's a series, like a multiple movies, and I have the judgments out on that yet. I did enjoy what Zack Snyder did for most of the movie, but there are some things out that just really confused me, and I take, not want to say issue, but like I need them explained. So I don't want to keep that off of the good list right now. Then there's Godzilla vs. King Kong and Mortal Kombat. So all right. Now, I don't think either one of them is a particularly good movie, but I enjoyed them thoroughly. Godzilla vs. King Kong had a lot of issues, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't go in thinking it was going to be an Oscar-worthy film, so I was still able to enjoy the great action of the movie. And then Mortal Kombat was the same way. I didn't expect it to be a super amazing Oscar-worthy film, but I feel like it was a letdown in certain areas, but it was by far one of the best video game movies of all time, which is not saying much. It did a whole special about how we're in the golden age of video game adaptations after we've had so many horrible ones. This one did pretty well. Mortal Kombat was okay. I would have no problem if they continue that storyline. I think they did a little misstep by choosing to have the main character a character that wasn't in the games, when there's hundreds of characters that they could have used. So I just want to say that I think they could be good moving forward. Now I want to talk about the disappointing movies that I saw that I was hoping for them to be much better. The Matrix Resurrections, I was hoping that movie was going to be fantastic, and I was thoroughly let down. I don't want to say I hate it, because I don't. I watched it a few times, and some of it is still pretty awesome. But for the most part, I wish they hadn't done it, and now apparently they're going to do a soft reboot with Taika Waititi. So I honestly don't even know what's going on at this point. Dune, for me, I know a lot of people that really love Dune. It didn't really resonate with me. Some of it was really cool, but I just didn't care for it. And then Black Widow really disappointed me. I was hoping for a really great origin film, and I got a so-so film that gave me more questions than answers. I didn't care where she got the vest in Infinity War. I wanted to get a flashback scene with her and Clint in Budapest. That's all I wanted, and they didn't give it to me. So it's on a disappointed list. Now, I'm going to talk about the ones I didn't see that I can't really speak on, but I hope to eventually have an opinion on moving forward. And then I'm going to talk about the two bad movies. So I didn't see Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I had the post-credit scene spoiled the day before it came out and just never really cared to go see it after that. The Eternals movie, I didn't see that, and I'll eventually watch it. It's coming to Disney Plus soon, so I'll watch it then. It just was, the characters didn't do anything for me when I saw the trailers, and it just didn't matter to me. Ghostbusters Afterlife, I've been hearing a lot of great things. I have not seen it yet. I hope to see it soon. Same thing with Free Guy. I've been hearing nothing but great things. I've seen a lot of clips, so I feel like I've seen most of the movie by now, but it's another one I just have not seen. And then Snake Eyes was another one that I didn't get to see, which I hope to in the near future. Now, that being said, there is, actually, no, I'm only going to talk about one. I had two on this list initially, but I'm changing my mind. I'm only going to talk about one bad movie this year. And it was Space Jam, A New Legacy. That movie was absolutely garbage. I'm sorry. It should have been Space Jam, A New Travesty, because it really did not do, it actually hurt the original, in my opinion. Most times a reboot or whatever you want to call it, a continuation many years later, it can just be a bad film by itself. This actually tarnished the original for me. It was nothing but a long-running commercial for product placement and other Warner Brothers properties that they are slowly destroying. I'm sorry. That movie was trash. LeBron James, I don't know what happened. I thought he was a very good actor when he was in Shipwrecked and everything else I've seen, but God, he was bad in this movie. I mean, there was just so many flaws from a storytelling standpoint, from an acting standpoint, from just common sense standpoint. I mean, when the man fell into Toon World, he fell and made a Nike swoosh. Seriously? Seriously? This is what we're doing? Yeah, no. I'm not okay with this. And, you know, then they had to do the, we got Michael Jordan. It was Michael B. Jordan. They really could have, honestly, the movie was horrible. But if Bill Murray would have came out the stands and started playing like he did in the original, I would have been like, you know what? Fine. Whatever. But no, Space Jam, A New Legacy is by far one of the worst movies I've seen in a long time. And I was very disappointed because I have such fond memories of the first one. And then every time I've talked about it, people are like, well, the first one was just an ad too for all of his stuff. I don't know about that. I've watched it since. Yes, there were product placement, but it wasn't done the way they did in this movie. Like, let's go to all the alternate universes in the Warner Brothers canon and pick up all these superheroes and then not use them at all. Literally, that whole part of the movie was just, let's go look at cool stuff that we own, try to get you to watch this when you're done with this crappy movie. It really disappointed me. And the one thing I was the most disappointed was how they... Man, Don Cheadle, man. Don Cheadle is one of the best actors on the planet, and he delivered one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. I don't know why this movie was done so badly. I just can't. Space Jam: A New Legacy, like I said, should have been called Space Jam: A New Travesty. God, that movie hurts me. It hurts so bad. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for the top content from Nerdpool Prime this year. This past year, I thank you all again for all that you guys have done. I am just truly honored to be able to do this, and I will continue to do this no matter what the case may be. I have a lot of things in the works right now. I have a lot of things in the works right now. So that being said, anyone who's been with me for this journey for the past year, buckle up, buttercups, because this is just the beginning. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.